God wants to touch each one of us this morning. And you know, when we open up our hearts to Him, because sometimes through this life and the things that this life throws at us, we sort of harden our hearts a little bit. Would you agree? It's sort of just a survival or a protection mechanism. And then it's sort of just natural in a sense that we close our hearts or even our desires, or sort of, especially when we grow a little bit older, then we begin to say, well, no, I've been there, I've bought the t-shirt, I've done that. But that's not really how life works. That's not really how things should fit together, you know, because that's not what my experience says to me. How many would agree? Thank you for your enthusiasm there. Yes, yes. All of us would agree, you know, because, and yet when you're a little kid, sometimes you understand things that just it happens, and you just, like, if somebody tells you, if your dad tells you it works like this, you just believe him. You know, we did an SOS training in Table View, at the Table View Church last week, and there was a man, Reynos, the pastor in Cape Town, one of the pastors in Cape Town's dad, who had a back problem for 10 years, but a chronic, intense back problem for 10 years. And so we taught on how you should pray for the sick. And somebody had a word of knowledge, and then his dad came out, and he sort of indicated that he's got the person, he's the person, I think he went for operation and all that stuff. And so everybody's like thinking, oh, okay, you know, let's see if God is going to heal or not. And then a little five-year-old boy walked up to him, and he said, I think I must pray for you. And Ryan still encouraged him a little bit, and then he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, Jesus, heal the back problem, and devil, get out of his life. Amen. And the man was instantly healed. You know, still yesterday, she said, yeah, we can give God an applause, you know. And I was thinking, you're a five-year-old, eh? And that's why, parents, don't despise your kids when it comes especially to the supernatural. You must pray over them. You must trust God that what you have experienced, don't give your experiences, your negative experience down to them, but pray for them. Pray that the angels will visit them. Pray that God will begin to do stuff. Because, you know, especially through young kids, things begin to manifest and they begin to show us things. I remember the other night when Josh woke up in the middle of the night. I was already praying for half an hour, probably about 2:30, because I realized something is not right yet at the house. Something is, there's something here, you know. It's either some spirit or something has come to visit us. That's 2 months ago already. And then Josh came running into my three-year-old son. He came running into the room and he said, Papa, Papa, chase the man with the black cat under his arms away out of our garden. And I looked out and there was nobody there. And I realized, but he picked up that there's something spiritual happening here. And I was already praying for 30 minutes. And it was just so, you know, so easy to take his hand and go to the room and just said, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. And then he went to bed and he slept further. Yeah. And what I want us this morning, and just on the side, just to add, break, Pastor Fred and Lucille, they in the UK for 2 weeks. And they're going to Switzerland. We're trusting God to start a church there as well. So they're visiting all our churches. So this week and next week, they'll not be here. So please pray for them. Because we really, God is opening doors all across the world. And it's so exciting when we as a church send people and we see what God is doing. But I've been challenged a lot about this one thing. I'm going to give you, through the sermon this morning, a couple of chicken nuggets, 7 of them. And I trust you're going to catch them as we just go. Sort of just bonuses, okay? Are you with me? Just 7 things God has dropped into my spirit, but then we're going to sort of go on. Are you excited? Do you want some? Okay, cool stuff. Okay. The first one, very simply, and this is quite a profound one. If you catch this one, I think your life is going to change, because mine changed. Very simply, God is not here to serve you and me. We are here to serve Him. God is not here to serve you and I this morning. We are here to serve Him. Okay. The title of the sermon is God is Perfect and I Am Not. Okay, God is perfect and I'm not. In Luke chapter 18, verse 19, we start with this thing, and this is the challenge for us, especially when we're a bit older. Scripture says that God is good. There's an old song that we sang, God is good all the time. Did you remember that? God is good. That one of those horse riding songs. God is good all the time. Can you remember that? Okay. The young people don't know what we're saying. But Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Okay, that's quite a challenging one, because as Christians, we think that even when we're saved, we're good. But Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. Nobody is good except God alone. Would you say that after me? Nobody is good except God alone. Okay, so if God says he's good, God also says, the second thing he says, that he is perfect. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 47, he says, and if you only greet your brothers, what more do you do? Even the Gentiles do the same, don't they? So then, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God is good and God is perfect. That means that God cannot change who he is. God is love, God is holy. He doesn't do things that make him holy. He doesn't do things that make him perfect. He is already perfect. And that perfection means that he's got like a perfect standard and a way of thinking and a way of doing things. Are you with me? So if he's perfect, it means he's perfect. There's nothing that he lacks. There's nothing that he needs. So if you and I come to worship him this morning, he does not need our worship. He does not need your sacrifice. He doesn't need your money. He needs nothing, because he is perfect. Otherwise, he would not be perfect. Would you agree with me? Very simple foundation that we're starting. God is perfect. And that means that God cannot change. He doesn't want to change. He's perfect. He is perfect. 100%. Not 99.9. So when God speaks, he also speaks the truth. Doesn't matter what the fact says in your life. When he speaks the truth, the truth will always override facts. Like Jesus calling Peter to walk on the water, same thing. He says, the fact says you cannot walk on the water, but the truth says you can. So God is perfect, and he is always good. Now the devil wants to lie to us, and this world system that wants to tell you that God is not good. God is actually motivated. There's actually a bad side from God, on God, and God is sort of, he's just looking and thinking, maybe I'm going to smack you some other time. And so when we doubt God's goodness, then suddenly things begin to happen in our lives. And I'm going to go there. It's sort of a bit of a continuation on what Pastor Fred prayed and preached about on dualism. So God is perfect. His standard is very high. And God says, that's it. I'm good and I'm perfect. And I cannot be somebody else than who I say I am. Otherwise, I am a liar and I cannot be God. So he is perfect. Now, our minds cannot perceive and conceive what perfection means, but because everything we see around us is broken and sort of under construction, we are also under construction. Do you know that you're a work in progress? How many of you would agree? I'm a big work in progress. Okay, so the third thing, I'm just laying some foundation, some scriptures here. If you understand that God is perfect, Jesus said some very things. Did you know that Jesus spoke in absolutes many times? He didn't speak in suggestions. That's why it's not called the 10 suggestions. It's called the 10 commandments. Most of the times when God would speak, he would speak in terms of commanding something. He would say, this is it, because it's truth. It's not a suggestion, because otherwise it would not be perfect what he's speaking. So it's always like, this is my commandment. If you do as I say, this is what's going to happen. But here in John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Okay, we're just laying some absolutes down this morning. Very simply, God is perfect. God is good, we're not good. Then Jesus comes and he says, well, very simply, the next thing that you need to realize is without me you can do absolutely nothing. Now, when you go to the original Greek and the Hebrew and you go really deep into the word nothing, you'll find that it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Okay, you can go very deep into that word, but it means absolutely nothing. That means that you and I cannot stand here without God. You cannot sit on that chair without God's intervention in your life. You cannot breathe, think without God. That's what Jesus said. He upholds the whole universe by his word. So I don't know when you think about these things, is you think, oh my chuna, that word chuna machantas come up. Do you know that word? It means I am clueless. Okay, the other day was we went to Natal and I went to drink some coffee there with Angus the one morning. We stayed on his farm for 2 or 3 days. And as we were finishing the conversation, he was standing there. And the next moment, the Holy Spirit just came. We just felt the Holy Spirit so tangible. And then he looked me in the eyes and he started to just cry. And he said, see, as if there's one question I want to ask God is very simply, God, why do you use somebody like me? Why do you bother to use somebody like me? And I thought, whoa. Somebody that realizes his need for God. Second chicken nugget quickly, okay? The only people that received something from Jesus when they walked on the face of the earth were those that realized they had a need for him. The only people that received something from God were those who realized they had a massive need for him. The others crucified him. The others rejected him. The others walked away. But the Zacchaeus in the tree and the lady who pressed through the crowd and the one who came to wash his feet with the oil of which he got in prostitution, they received something massive from God. I love what it says when that lady presses through the crowd. You know, she had to be killed. She had to be stoned because she had to actually scream out, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. But she didn't because she took a risk to run to him. And then when she got to him, she touched the hem of his garment. And then scripture says, virtue flowed from him. And then only later in that story does Jesus say to her, go and you're healed now. Because she received something from him in a deep, desperate place where she said, I need you, Jesus. And if you're not going to touch me, then I'm going to die. They can might as well kill me because my deep hunger, thirst, and need for you. How needy and desperate are you this morning for God? Because when you realize your need for him, then you're going to be open to receive from him. Are you with me this morning? Okay, so I can do nothing without God. The problem today in our human secular way of thinking is that that we think that God is actually here to serve us. God is actually here. His primary purpose in our lives is to bless us. So when we pray, we say, God, please protect my family. God, please be with me. God, I'm going to do some work today, so please come and serve me by blessing me and opening up doors for me today at my work. Lord, thank you. Be with us today as we have church because, Lord, you're actually here to serve us because we've got a meeting, and so you must come and you must do something for us while we continue in our normal everyday life. That's what the world says, and that's the spirit of the world. Now, I'm saying some hard words here today, but I want us to make just a shift in our minds. Because as long as we continue, especially as the church in the West, in our comfort, and we say, God, come and bless me. Do you know he's going to always love us? He's always going to bless us. But we can never fulfill what God has called us in the church to do and through the church to do as long as he's here to serve us. So one of the challenges that we have is very simply, in our modern theology, is we've got a challenge around a lack of the fear of God. We don't understand who God is. So when we don't understand who he is, what we always do is we take God and we bring God but down to a human level. We say, God, you must interact in our ways and on our level. And so there's a scripture here in Psalm 25 verse 14. It says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So very simply, the fear of God is just that ability to understand how big God is. And that he is not a nice God. There's a difference between a good God and a nice God. Can somebody say amen? God is good, but he's not nice. In that sense where we think of nice as my surf buddy, my little genie, my little whatever I can do with because you just do something for me. You just come and sort of make something, change something, and then I'm going to serve you. Or when I'm this, then God, something is going to happen. God is good. But you know what? If we don't understand the fear of God, if we don't understand His holiness and His perfection, then we're going to miss God wholesale, because then we're always just going to focus on His love. But you know, love also includes discipline. Love also includes that God will make and allow sometimes suffering in your life. Why? Because God is perfect and He knows what's best for you. But if we just say God loves you and He's got a plan for your life, do you know what? We can miss God, because our interpretation of love is a feel-good, nice God. Are you with me? Hello. I'm just sort of throwing out some things. So God is not necessarily nice in the terms of the world, but God is always good. And we never need to or can doubt His goodness towards us. Because when you understand His goodness and His perfection, then the fear of God comes into your life. And you realize, wow, Lord, You are so amazing. God, You are so great. You are so beyond my mind, Lord. You are so beyond us, Lord. But Lord, you know, when we look to Jesus, we understand, Lord, how great You are, because You actually had to send Your Son in the form of a human being to come and serve us so that we can understand You better. And Lord, you know, it is just so amazing that You gave Your best for us so that we can live and have an understanding of You. And that's why the Holy Spirit is also here. You know, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 10, I'm not going to read it, verse 1 to 3, there were two guys that were priests. And they, Scripture talks about the fact that they burnt profane fire before God. And then God turned around and He smacked them. God killed them on the spot. And now many people think, now, well, that's the Old Testament. Obviously, God has changed to the New Testament. I've got news for you, for myself. God cannot change. Hello? So now people think, no, that's a bad side of God in the Old Testament. No, it's God. But if you understand the fear of God and how God feels about your worship and what we bring to Him, it's holy, it's sacred. And obviously, there's a whole story around what happened to these two sons that were just, you know, they just came in and they just profaned and they made the house of God immoral, and lots of things happened. And so God just had to intervene for the sake of the broader body. It wasn't so much about them personally. So God is not going to smack you or kill you or anything like that. Very simply, just God knows where He's going. And if you and I stand in the way of where He's going, He will remove us. Now, we don't hear this often in especially the charismatic church, because God loves you and He's got a plan for your life. No, God loves you, He's got a plan, and it's His plan. And if you and I stand in the way of that plan, do you know what? He removes us. It's as simple as that. Because His love would mean that He would remove us. Not kill you, not like let you die or anything like that. It's just very simple. He will just say, just move away because I'm going somewhere. Okay, so now I've got all your attention, because people are staring at me this morning because it's a different gospel that you're preaching. What are you doing? Yeah. But I've realized that we, especially in the charismatic church, there's such a lawless spirit running around in the church. Everybody does what is right in his eyes. Everybody, there's no fear of God. So people just do whatever they want to. There's no order. There's whatever. And everybody call it for the sake of love, because the world interprets love for us. But you know, let's read in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. It says, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? This is now the people talking about Jesus. Okay, and we're going to look at the result, because I believe we're in that environment today. Okay, we're in the same time as what Jesus was, the same things people started to say, the same things about Jesus. Isn't that the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And so they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own house. He was not able to do a miracle there except to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed because of their unbelief. Then he went around among the villages and he taught. So here we see Jesus. He was obviously the Son of God and the Son of Man, so he was a human. In that sense, where he had to rely on God completely to do miracles. He wasn't in that form godly in a sense where he could just like, he could only do what he saw the Father do. So here we see Jesus had some limitations. It seems like that. It seems like Jesus changed himself, or God changed in a way, because now why on earth can God not do miracles? Because that's what Scripture says. But it gives us the key of the three things there, and this is actually a sermon completely on its own, of why miracles and healings and this perfect God could not manifest himself in the way that he wanted to because of the people that put certain limitations on him. Because, you know, God respects your choices and he respects my choices. He will not override your choice. So the first thing that we see there very simply is he says these people were so familiar with Jesus that they took offense of him. They thought, no, this can't be. This man from Nazareth, he cannot be the Messiah. We know him. We know where he comes from. He's the carpenter's son. He's like this. He's just around the corner here. So what on earth, Jesus? You can't. This can't. No, there's no chance. So they took offense at him. Very simply because they became familiar and they had no fear of God. I had a great definition, and this is another chicken nugget, okay? The fear of God is not understanding that God is not man or like us, but that he is set apart from us. He's different from us. When you don't understand that God is not like us, then there's no fear of God. But when you understand that God is different, he's perfect, he's good, he's holy, then you and I would not bring him down to the level where we operate or where our circumstances would determine what he can do or not he can do, or the things in our heart. And I must say this, and I repent this morning before you. I say I am sorry for the charismatic church that has preached a gospel that is not the full gospel. I repent on behalf of the leadership of the charismatic church in the world that has preached a prosperity gospel and just say God loves you and he's got a plan for your life. I am sorry. Because that is not what Scripture says. Scripture says if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, and then you're going to have life. But you see, so many people out of the charismatic church get so offended with God because of one reason. Because they've got the wrong expectations of Jesus. We expect that God must come to serve us. God must come to bless us. God must come to prosper us. And that is our primary goal many times why we serve God, is because we want him to bless us. And that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the rich man, well, if you want to follow me, sell everything. He said, blessed is he who leaves mother and father and wife and husband and child for my name's sake, for greater will be their reward. Now, those are not the scriptures that we preach on, because we don't like preaching on them, because we try to interpret them differently. No, how can I leave? Now, obviously, don't walk away from your wife, okay? It's just very simply, it's a place in your heart where Jesus wants to be number one. And there is no other second. There is no other secondary to that. He wants to be number one, point. But see, so many people get offended when God doesn't come through, or when we pray and things don't happen. Why? Because we bring God down to our level. The second thing that happened there, it says very simply, there was no honor. Jesus said, well, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. He's not in his own country. He's not, you know, there's no place where there's no honor. So honor means a respect for who he is, his royalty and his perfection. And you realize, whoa, there's a spiritual realm and there's spiritual principles at work. If I sow, I'm going to reap. If I do the right thing in God's kingdom, it's going to happen, but not for my benefit. So honor is so important, and that's what we sometimes, I love it, you know, when Fred and I went to Sudan, you know, we went there to the Anglican church, and we were thinking, oh, you know, what on earth, you know? These guys still have their little liturgy, and they read it off, and they stand there, and it's really boring. I say that with all respect. Very boring. But then you come around there, and then I was thinking, you know, they must get their songs a little bit of hip-hop, you know, just get it, like, nice. Then they sing songs like, Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. And then you realize, don't take those songs away from them, because those songs carried them for 50 years through a war where people bombed them and killed them, and 200,000 of their kids had to run over the border, leave their family, leave everything. And then they just had a song. They didn't have a Bible. They just said, the cross before me, the world behind me. Now, who am I when I come out of an experience just say, oh, you're boring? Because the only thing in Southern Sudan that's standing is the church. So I must honor them. I must respect them for what God has done through their lives. And when I do that, there's a blessing in my life. Then Jesus can be Jesus in my life. But sometimes we know so much what we're against, but we don't know what we're for. And then the last one is just very simply is unbelief. Jesus said, well, they could not trust him. They did not believe. Are you with me this morning? Shake somebody next to you and say, we're going somewhere. We're picking up some speed. Okay, you're very silent here this morning, but I just want to, you know, when we bring God down to our level, and when we live in a dualistic society, then what we do is our spirituality, and when God moves, it only depends on our church activities. So when we have church, then we're spiritual. But when we go to work, we're very natural, and God must come to serve us in our natural world. And then we miss God because we don't understand that he's perfect and he cannot lie and his word is the truth. And he wants to be involved in your workplace. He wants to be involved in your car when you drive. I think I told the story, a couple of months, 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I was sitting in the car and then I was, you know, driving to Oudemoulin there, and I was sitting at the robot, and there was a guy sitting in a car next to me, and I was looking at this guy, and the Holy Spirit said to me, pray for this man. So I was thinking, okay. So I prayed, you know, said, Lord, touch him. The next moment, this guy starts to weep, like uncontrollably. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, and he drives off, because it turned green, the robot. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, what just happened? And I'm sitting at the green robot, and I'm just, you know, traumatized through the experience. Yeah? So I'm sitting there, everybody's hooting, and I'm just thinking, okay. It was a 45 degrees angle that I lifted my hand. I didn't even shake my hand. Touch him, Lord. You see? I'm only joking. That's just, you know, we want to get formulas out of, how did it work now? I don't know. Something worked there. But you know, when you allow God to be God, things are going to happen around you that you're not going to understand. You know, I love it. We did an SAS training yesterday and the day before that year. And it was just the first time that lots of people that don't know God was there. And most of the people are not actually even in the church. And so there was this one guy that was very skeptic, and the Lord gave a word of knowledge that there's somebody there at in his third teeth from the back here on the right-hand side. You can ask D if he was there. They're my witnesses. There are a couple of people here that were there. In his third teeth at the bottom, there's like pain in his third tooth. Yeah, right here at the bottom. And so like we asked twice, and the guy, only after the second time, this guy responded. And later he came up to testify. He said, well, I was very skeptic and I wasn't actually supposed to be here, and I don't know why I'm here still, but all I know now, there's a God that exists. Because he knew the man who gave the word of knowledge was not, and didn't have an idea that he had a tooth pain in the exact one down there. It's not the fourth, not the fifth, the third one. But you know, I love it when God, you know, there were two other guys that were very skeptic sitting next to him, and they were, so God picked, you know, picked the one in the middle so they couldn't disagree, because now here their buddy stands up and he comes to the front and he says, well, okay. I think there's a God that exists, yeah? Another chicken nugget. You know what? God is not, the people out there are not interested in what you know and what your doctrine says. They're interested whether Jesus is real in your life. They're not interested in what church you go to. They're not interested in how many degrees you have. They're not interested in your knowledge. Those things are very important. But they're interested to see whether what you have is real. Because that's what the world is waiting for. They're waiting for people that has a real relationship with a perfect and a good God that never changes. Hello. That's a great place to say amen. Okay. So now we need to know that if God is perfect and we are like really not perfect, then Jesus says there in that scripture, he says, well, be perfect as my Father is perfect. How on earth does that work? Lord, I'm worthless. I'm imperfect. I cannot make it. And yet you tell me to be perfect. He says, don't just love the people around you. Love everybody. Don't just greet the people that you want to greet. Greet everybody. So God's standard is like massive high. And you know what? The good news this morning is that you and I cannot reach that standard. There's not a chance. So we must stop trying to be perfect because we cannot be. Let me read you a scripture in Psalm 51. God says, David prays after he sinned with Bathsheba. He said, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So David writes and he says, okay, Lord, I realize one thing. I've sinned and I am imperfect and I am wrong and there are lots of stuff that I did wrong. Now, Lord, you're actually supposed to kill me. But Lord, my first reaction would be to bring a lot of sacrifices to you. Let's sacrifice 300 goats and 700 bulls and let's just go bananas. Let's just go and let's just do a lot of things. Because you know what? One of the things that dualism, if we live dualistic, and I'm talking specifically dualistic between us and God, then what we're going to do is we're going to, there's something inside of us that says, I must be perfect and I must bring the perfect sacrifice before God is going to accept me. So I must have my life sorted out before God is going to use me. Because something, I must do something to bring a sacrifice. I must, Lord, at least try to be good. I must at least put something on the table that can prove to you that I am worth something. And when you fall for that lie, you're going to continue trying to be perfect for the rest of your life. Because God is not looking for perfection. Hello. He says, what I want is I want your heart. I want you to tell me what's going on in your heart. I want you to share with me and I want you to be broken about your weaknesses, about your inabilities, and I want you to tell it to me. I want you to open up because that brokenness, that desperation for the needs that you have, but not a focus on the needs, just an openness as to who you are. Just a realization as to say, God, here I am. I'm not making it, Lord. And Lord, I actually realize, I'm honest with you this morning, that there's nothing I can put on the table and there's nothing I can do without you. Because I need you. I am desperate for you. And you're the only one that can satisfy me. Not, Lord, I'm such a worm. God, I've got so many problems. And Lord, so many things that must be sorted out. But God, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try to be perfect. Because we reject the goodness of God. There's not another chicken nugget. Okay, let me say this to you. Okay. God is good. Sin is a denial of the goodness of God in our lives. Sin is a denial of the goodness of God in our lives. Very simply, where we say, I am choosing to do something else instead of going to the provision that God has made for me. Are you with me? Can I say that very slowly again? Sin is a denial of the goodness of God. So I choose to do something else while I look for acceptance in some another place where God has accepted me. Hello? Are you still with me? So God requires a broken and a contrite heart. Okay, now we're going to pick up some speed. Now, when we read Paul, just two more slides to go. Okay, when we read of Paul, Paul understood this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, talks about what God says to me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So God said to Paul, he said, Paul, don't worry. I'm going to release my grace in your life and over your life. Because it's in your weakness that I am made perfect, and my strength starts to manifest through your life, really in your weakness. And then Paul says here, he says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, I would actually come up here and say to people, whoa, I don't know why God uses somebody like me. I'm trying to figure that out. One day when I get to heaven, the greatest surprise is not going to be about who is there and who is not there. The greatest surprise to me is going to be around the fact that I am there. Wow. Lord, you've granted me the grace to get to heaven. And you see, the moment when we come in that brokenness to God and we say to God, God, here I am. I'm not perfect. I cannot make it. Lord, there's so many weaknesses in my life. But I realize that your grace kicks in when I just become honest with you. Then you start to do things. You start to release things. Through my weakness, God, you are made strong. You are made perfect. That word perfection, the perfection of God starts to manifest. The goodness of God starts to manifest in the world out there when we start to open up and say, just God, here I am. So I will boast in my weakness. You know, for me, I'm not big on confrontation. I want everybody to feel loved. And I want everybody to feel I have a nice time. So even this morning sermon for me is a bit of a tough one. Because I don't like to confront people and say, well, you don't have any fear of God, because I just know I don't have lost the fear of God. So it's not my nature to confront people, but I know it's a weakness, but I must work on that weakness. Now I say, God, be gracious to me, because I know that I don't really love people if I don't confront them sometimes about what I see in their lives and their accountability and what they need to change. So that's a weakness. I'm not talking about sin. There's a difference between weakness and sin. Sin must be repented of. Sin must be walked away from. We cannot say, oh, I am an adulterer and I, you know, that's my weakness. No, that's sin. We repent of sin. You run away from sin. You keep out of sin. You don't entertain sin. Sin is sin. But there's a difference between sin and weakness. Weakness is that areas where you sort of have a blind spot. And that's why we get married, because our wives, you know, yesterday we had the SOS training. There's one guy who actually taught a while at the SOS, he taught on healing. And then a lady got a word of knowledge there. And she said, well, there's somebody with his big toe on the left-hand side has got, you know, it's an ingrown toenail or something. And so this guy was standing in front and he was like busy teaching. So he's like, whoa, up there, you know. So he's standing there and she's got this word. And I ask, is there anybody here that can relate to that word? And nobody responds. And then his wife screams from the back. He says, that's you, you know. It's you. You need the... So, you know, so it's just great to be married, because you know your weaknesses. I mean, men and women. You don't need to talk about it. You don't need to write lots of books. Just ask your wife. But you know, that's so great. That's why God has placed us. And that's the beauty of marriage. Not because we must be perfect, but because God allows his grace to kick into your life when you realize I can't do it myself. When there's somebody around you that he places there that comes and helps you, and you bless them and you work together, and you realize we're just two imperfect people serving a perfect God. Can somebody say amen there? So people, what we need to do is we need to challenge ourselves, because God is not expecting perfection from you. And as long as you stand there before God and every time you try to worship God and you think that you need to bring something to the table that's going to change God or going to turn his arm or persuade him to heal somebody or do something for you, then you know what? We bring him down to our level. And then you're going to get offended. But when we allow God to open up and say to us who he is, and we start to boast in our weaknesses, then the strength of God begins to manifest, and then you begin to taste what it means to overcome. Can I tell you a story? The other day, I was looking and watching the news. And then I saw on what's happening in Somalia. And you know, in the world, we sometimes, because we love our comfort zones and stuff, and I'm just, as I say, with all the love and respect, you know, we haven't got a clue what's going on in the world out there. But in Somalia, there's a refugee camp now, 430,000 people already, the biggest refugee camp in the world. We're about to face the worst human disaster that this earth has seen by famine in Somalia if there's not intervention. So I was watching this, I went on the internet and I realized, my khuna, thousands of kids die every day as we're sitting here of hunger and starvation. So now I'm thinking about all these things. And then I read a story and the pastor in Kenya sent me of a mother that they found. She was 2 days dead already and there were twins were sucking on her breasts. They found the two twins still barely alive when the mother already died. I don't know about you, but that hurts God. When you and I throw away food every day, and I'm not trying to do a condemnation thing, it's just God's heart. When thousands of kids, 30,000 kids, 30,000 people die of starvation every day. And that's the world we live in. So I was sitting there, I was thinking, God, I've got so many excuses because I need to do ministry tomorrow and I'm so involved and there's so many stuff in church and all that stuff on the Friday evening or the Thursday evening. And Lord, I'm busy and I'm tired. And the Lord asked me a question. He said to me, what are you going to do about Somalia? And I said, God, I don't know. I don't know anybody. I don't whatever. Lord, I haven't got a clue. So I couldn't sleep the evening. I said, God, but there's so many other stuff that I need to focus on, Lord. When the Lord asked me 3 times that evening, he said, what are you going to do about Somalia? And I said, okay. I don't know, Lord, but I'm going to do something. But God, I'm very weak here because I haven't got a clue and I don't know what. To make a long story short, that next morning we were at a missions training and leadership thing and then one of the guys said, no, he'll start a Facebook. Let's just tell people they must stop eating for 1 day and just give that money for that food. I said, okay, you start it. So Edward started the Facebook and I decided, well, I'm going to mail a couple of people and just tell them what God did in my heart. That's all I'm going to do. Just say, God, I wept last night, I don't know. So he started a Let's Fast Somalia and within a week, we've raised 130,000 rand. But that's not the story. The story is now we're connecting and we're going to start our first disaster management NGO for South Africa, Christian one. And so God is just connecting us with people all over the place. Other churches are beginning. And you know what? We didn't put one announcement into the church. And every time I'm just saying that, God, I haven't got a clue. So the shipment goes out Tuesday, 50,000 liters of water, and clean, purified water and cans of fish on a Muslim ship to Somalia. And then you realize, God, I didn't even actually do anything about it. I just allowed you to touch my heart, and now you're going to bless the people. Now we're connecting with people making boreholes and all that stuff in Kenya and all that stuff, and God is just opening up doors, and I'm thinking, God, why do you use somebody like me that's so nowhere? But you know, all he was looking for was my heart. And all he's looking for this morning is your heart. And when you open up your heart, and you start to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing this week is ask God. Say, God, what is on your heart today? Just change your prayer. Lord, what do you feel about this town that I'm living in? What do you feel about my workplace? How do you feel about what's happening around me? Not, Lord, come and bless me because I've got a tense time today at work. Just change your prayer. That you're there to serve God. God is not there to serve you. And your life is going to change. I promise you. Because that's what the Bible requires. That's what it says. That's when we have life. Okay, last one. Let's move. Okay. Jesus, how God anointed Jesus. This is now it's preaching. They say, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I'm going to end with that scripture. You see, it talks about the life of Jesus, and it says very simply, God healed all. God did many things because the Father was with him. Jesus healed everybody. Because if we allow Jesus to be Jesus, he cannot do anything else than be the healer. He will heal everybody. If we allow Jesus to be the deliverer, he will deliver everybody. Because that's who he is. He cannot change. Will you stand with me this morning? So even this morning, I am not saying and preaching down at us. I'm really preaching up at you. Because I am challenged by a lack of the fear of God in our midst and a lawlessness that is just running around because everybody just feels like, well, I want to do something. I want to whatever. Now, I'm quite an impulsive guy, you know. So I just like see something and then I want to go and do it, you know. So one of my weaknesses is I'm like two steps ahead of God all the time, you know. God needs to like come and rein me in, you know. But you know, the most amazing thing, it doesn't matter whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or whatever label people have put on you. There's a label that God wants to put on you. And that means that you're a son and a daughter of Him. And when your son comes running into the room, he's not scared of the dad. He's not afraid. But he understands how things work. And that happens through discipline. That happens through a process of him understanding that he is in a work in progress. But you know, as a dad, I believe I'm a good dad. I allow my kid to make mistakes. Because I don't expect perfection from that kid. But that kid must not put me in a box to try and tell me what I must do and how the rules of the house must work and how discipline must work because I'm the dad. I've grown up a little bit. So his relationship with me is very simple. He must understand his place. He must understand that he's not the dad. He thinks he is, but he's not the dad. He's not making the decisions. He's not paying the bills. But as a dad, I understand that there's lots of room for him to make mistakes. Because he's going to grow up. When he's 20 years old, he cannot still wet his pants and have a nappy. Because I'm going to expect something different from him. So all of us, we're in different seasons and at different places in this work in progress. But it is so important that you let go of your perfection or your trying to be perfect. Because God is going to allow you to make lots of mistakes because He loves you and He gets a kick out of you just growing up. You know, sometimes in church we have with the single people and then, you know, there's one guy who wrote to me in the week and he said to me, well, and he's in a small church, and he said to me, well, there's a lady that he likes, but he's so afraid to going after this lady because she's got like 10 friends in the church. And if he messes it up with her, then he's going to lose all the rest. He's going to have a reputation around all the rest. So he'd rather not go out with her. He'd rather not try something. Because then he said, you don't mess in your own drink water. He used another word, quite a crass word. They say, yeah, nie in your drink water, nie. Okay? Okay. So I was just thinking, I just laughed when he said that, you know. But then I realized that In his mind, there's something fundamentally wrong when it comes to the church and when it comes to our relationship with God. Because he thinks he must first be perfect before he can just be friends with the lady and pursue the lady and maybe make mistakes. What if he makes a mistake? At least he's tried. You know, if you do it respectfully and with honor, you know, don't sleep with the lady or do stuff with her and then you know what? Then it's part of growing up of sometimes making mistakes. But there's something demonic in many of our lives that tells us that you must be this perfect sacrifice and you must sort out your life and all your issues must be sorted out before God is going to use you, before He's going to love you. And then there's this massive block. And we're going to pray this morning that God is going to remove that, because we're going to start boasting in our weaknesses so that the perfect fullness of God can start to manifest through the church. So I tell you, most of the times I am completely clueless. How did it work here in the car? But all I'm doing is I'm obedient, because I realize He's perfect. He's going to do the healing. He's going to do the touching. He cannot be somebody else than what He says He is. He's perfect and He's always good. And from the beginning of mankind, that was what the devil came to Adam and Eve and said, well, maybe He's not really good in His intentions. Maybe if you eat of this fruit, then you're going to become like Him. Because maybe He's been lying to you about who He is, what He says in His word. That's called deception. Maybe He's not good. Maybe He doesn't want to use you. So I want to pray for people this morning. Firstly, for people, we're going to pray together, that do not have a relationship with God, but a proper one where you've repented. You didn't just pray a little prayer, but one where you experience Him and where you deny yourself daily, and where the flesh wants to kick in and you just want to have this and you want to have that and say, God, then you deny yourself and you say, God, I'm here to serve You and to make Your name glorious. I exist for one thing, is that Your glory will be seen over the earth. Your glory will be seen in my nation, in my town, in my workplace. So God, I come expectantly that You, what You said You will do, You're going to do that because You're perfect. And Lord, I'm not. And then you hear the voice of God. That's the most amazing and precious thing and reward that you can have, is God's presence in your life. The fact that He speaks to you, the fact that He releases Himself over your life. So I'm going to ask you, if there's anybody like that, or maybe you're backslidden here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Him, while every eye is closed and people are praying, is there anybody like that? This morning you need to come back to the lover of your soul. You need to come to a perfect God and say, God, here I am. I surrender all. I deny myself. I want to take up my cross, because I know that's how You created me. You will not ask something of me that You have not already done. You have taken up a cross, and therefore Your grace will be sufficient for me to follow You and to enjoy You and to have a relationship with You. But Lord, I need to deny myself today, because I cannot save myself and I cannot bring You down to my level of existence. Is there anybody like that? Will you raise your hand very high? Say, that's me. Anybody that needs to come to Jesus this morning and you want to say to Him, that's me. I've backslidden, I've walked away, and this morning I want to say to that King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, here I am, I surrender all. Is there anybody like that? Just quickly raise your hand. Raise it very high. Anybody like that this morning? Enige iemand soos daai? Gou vinnig, steek jou hand hoog op. And you know that by just the fact that you can hear God's voice. Not by the fact that you go to church, but the fact that He speaks to you and He uses you and things begin to happen. Anybody like that? Just raise your hand very high. Nobody like that? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? There's a war going on for people's souls here this morning. That's the greatest miracle we'll ever see, is when one person comes to know Christ. Anybody else? Maybe you haven't raised your hand, but I want to ask you to quickly, if you've raised your hand, to come right here to the front. Take somebody's hand next to you and say, I need to be in front. I need to pray that prayer, because this morning I cannot continue in the way that I've been continuing. This morning I'm going to surrender everything to Him. Won't you come quickly if that's you? Then the second group of people that I want to pray for this morning is, there's a drive in your life. There's something, and you've submitted to that lie that tells you must be perfect. Thank you for coming. God loves you so much. What's your name? Margarita? Weet jy dat die Here jou lief het? Maar vanoggend moet jy sterf. Want jy kan nie jouself red nie. Weet jy dit? Maar Hy gaan jou red en Hy gaan jou kom skoon was. En Hy het sy bloed uitgestort vir jou, dat al was jy die enigste persoon wat nog ooit geleef het, sal Hy het nog steeds kom doen het. Because do you know what, Margarita? Hy gee nie second-hand parts en second-hand, Hy maak nie second-hand goed nie. Hy maak alles nuut. Hy gaan vandag vir jou 'n nuwe lewe gee. Want dis al wat hy kan doen. Hy kan nie iets anders doen nie. Hy kan nie second hand goed doen nie. Hy kom maak net goed nuut. Gaan jy gou saam met hom bid, Gina? The second group of people, very simply, if you have become familiar with God, you even as you're sitting here, because of people in your life, you've become offended. Just means that there's this thing in your heart that doubts God's goodness. Because of what people even wrongfully have done in your life. But there's just always, it's like a picture I'm going to draw you. It's like you come to the door and you know you have to walk through it. You know there's so much more. There's so much in experiencing God. But every time when you, just before you come to that door, your life fails you. You just cannot. And then all the experiences and all the negative stuff and the offenses and the fears and all the stuff, they creep up to you because you just cannot walk through that door. You want to. In your head, you know you must do it. You must open your heart, but you just cannot. Because you've been hurt and because of things and even that has happened in the church. And that was just a setup for you to doubt the goodness of God. To just every time come there and say, no, maybe not. And now you think you must be perfect because that's the second group with this group. If you have been driven to think that what you give must be perfect or you must first sort out your life before God is going to use you or before he's going to love you, I want you to come to the front because we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that that lie will break over your life. That thing that drives you, makes you mad, you know, a driving for acceptance, a driving for peace, a driving for whatever that is, but you need prayer today. And then also with that, people that have lost a fear of God in their lives, where we've just taken God to a mere existence on a human level, and you want us to pray with you. And all you're going to say to God is, God, I'm going to open up my heart to start boasting in my weakness so that the perfection of Christ can manifest through me. And then when you start boasting in those weaknesses, you're going to see healings happen through your life. You're going to see Jesus coming with you to work. You're going to have the most exciting times. You're going to see five-year-olds lay hands on people and they get saved. They get healed, speak one word. They change. Because then raw Jesus can manifest through your life to the people around you. If that's you, God is speaking to you. And you want to make a renewed commitment to understanding the fear of God in your life. Or when you're offended, and I'm calling everybody there to the front, I want you to come quickly. Normally it's just the younger people that come, but I want to tell to us older people, older than 35 years old, this message is especially for us. Because we've been hurt, because we've been disappointed in the kingdom of God, we lower God down to our level of management. But God cannot be managed. He's perfect and he's good. And if there's a hurt in your heart or there's some stuff and now everybody looks around like we normally do and it's just young people standing in front and I'm going to wait till some older people come because I know this message is especially for us that are above 35 years of age. And I include myself because I've been repenting a little bit and I've just been saying, God, bring back the fear of God in my life. Understanding of who you are. Won't you come quickly? Just come. It's not coming to me. It's not coming to a prayer. It's just coming in an acknowledgement to say to God this morning, Lord, here I am. I'm not going to try to make you a comfortable God and try to fit you into my comfort zone because that's our problem in the church in the West. It's only when you allow God to be God that he's God. You must say that to him this morning. I'm going to hang on for another minute because I know as soon as we're going to start playing, people are going to come, but I want us actually to step out while there's no emotion or psyching up or anything like that. Just God calling you to a greater understanding of who he is. And you say, God, I'm a work in progress. Here I am. But I thank you, Lord. Jesus waited for 30 years and for 3 years, his life changed. And he changed lives around him because he came to a place of brokenness. Came to a place of humility. Came to a place of surrender. Says, God, it's not what I do. It's about what you've already done on the cross. But I submit to that. I submit to laying down my life. I submit to surrendering my life to you. I just feel I need to stay a little bit longer here. Because, you know, the world puts so much pressure on us. But if your heart is like want to jump out of your throat this morning, You want to say, God, I put you on this throne of my life again, where you can be God. And yes, you're a loving God. Yes, you're a father. And you allow me to make mistakes. But God, I'm not going to bring you down to my broken world. I'm going to bring my brokenness into your world. Heaven must come on earth. Heaven, perfect heaven, comes on earth. Give me today my daily bread. Let heaven come on earth, God. Because your perfection needs to manifest in my life. Because everything that I see around me is imperfect. When that happens, heaven comes on earth. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The name above every name. The name that is glorious. The name that will stand forever. Your kingdom come here this morning, Lord. Your perfect will be done in our lives. Lord, let heaven come on earth. Let heaven manifest here today. And give us today our daily bread, Lord. That bread of your supernatural, that bread of who you are. Lord, lead us not into temptation, because, Lord, there's so many imperfections around us. And deliver us from evil, God. Because there's evil around us. Every day we're confronted with evil and bad things in this world that's just going in one direction. But deliver us, Lord. For yours is the kingdom, Lord. The power and the glory, God. Forever and ever. The kingdom belongs to you. The power, God, the glory belongs to you forever. That's why we live. That's why we exist, God, is to make your name great. So we're going to sing a song. And then we're also going to baptize some people out there in the rain. But if you still need to be in front, I want you to come quickly. And then I want you this week, just start praying around the fear of God. Saying, God, you're so loving. You're such an amazing Father. And thank you that you allow me to make mistakes. And Father, this morning, we pray for every person that's standing here, Lord, that has been driven and driving to be perfect or to bring a sacrifice to you that will try to please you, God. But Lord, that's just a lie. Because God, in us, there's no good except if you put it there. And this morning we say, God, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation, no shadow of turning, Lord. Everything that is good in our lives, Lord, is good and it's perfect and it's from you, God. And we realize everything that works, Lord, it's from you, comes down from you, the Father of lights, with whom there's no change, there's no variation, there's no shadow of turning. And this morning we submit to your goodness, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you still need prayer now, as we're going to pray for these people and as we're going to worship God, if you are sick in your body, Jesus is here to heal you today, this morning. There's somebody here with intense, you get like spasms here in your back and on your left shoulder. Where are you? God wants to heal you. Just quickly show me. It's your left shoulder problem. Is that you? Okay, there's a lady here. You also come to the front. Just come and stand quickly in front. There's a lady here that has got sleepless nights, and especially Wednesday and Thursday evening, you basically barely didn't sleep because of dreams that you had. And it's dreams of nature stuff, that sort of just storms and things like that. And God wants to calm the storm in your life, and he wants to use you through the gift of faith for that ability to calm storms. Where's that lady? I want to pray for you today. Just those people with healing, just come right to the front. Where's that lady that gets those dreams? Just quickly. Show me. Don't be shy. It's a bit caught. So can you see as mensen aan oplegging? That lady, quickly, I want you to come right to the front. Because we want to pray for you. There's also people that get heart beatings. Your heart klop, vinnig. And it's like you get pains in your heart here this morning. We want to pray for you. Where are you? Just show us. One or two people that's here. Now, kijk allemaal rond as if we're spectators, okay? Just quickly, where are you? We want to pray for you. Maybe he's standing in front here. There's specifically a man here that the Lord wants to heal today. And you actually have a little bit of anxiety that he wants to just release from you. Where are you? Steek vinnig your hand up. Is that you? Okay. There's also people here that doubt God's, just, you know, because of failure. There's been cycles of failure in your life, and God wants to break that today over your life. I'm not going to call you, say, lift up your hand, but God wants to heal you. Actually, you need deliverance, because you've been, there's specifically two people here that you always lose your business, always fails. You try something new, you get this great idea, and then it fails. I want to pray for those two people specifically. Where are you? It's not a shame. It's just like the devil has come against you, and we're going to pray that God is going to turn that around. because it's actually about your faith. It's about trusting God. Where are those two people? There's one person. Where's the other person? Just quickly. There are two people here specifically this morning that God wants to turn around in your life. Just quickly. Okay, yeah, we see that one person. Half mercy, but that's great. Half mercy is good enough for God. Anybody else that wants to be included in that prayer? Is that you? Huh? Is there somebody that I don't see? Huh? But somewhere there's somebody. Okay, won't you come to the front quickly? Sorry, I'm not seeing you there. Won't you just come? Come and stand right here. Those people that need healing, just come and stand right here in front. And we're not going to try to be super spiritual. This is just God speaking to us. God wanting to release us. There's also somebody here that has got diabetes and lots of ups and downs in your blood. There's some stuff in your blood that I don't know if it's... I think it's the word diabetes comes to mind, but there's also blood problems that God wants to heal. Is there anybody like that today here that God wants to heal? Just quickly show me and we're going to pray for you. And then if you, we're not going to prolong this service anymore, but if you're sick in your body, Jesus is here to heal you. Won't you just step out and come and stand right here in front? We're going to pray for you as well. And what we're going to do, we're going to do it a bit different today. We're going to worship God, and the people standing behind them, you are going to lay hands on them, because now you're thinking about all the stuff that's wrong in your life, but God is going to use you to pray for those who are sick. Because that's how it works. When we're weak, He's strong. When we say, God, I can't heal, then He comes to heal. Because that's what His job is. That's what He does. He cannot change Himself. So if you're sick in your body, why don't you come and stand right here in front? I want you to stand right on the yellow line. And then we're going to just worship God. So the service has just started. Amen. So if you need prayer, why don't you come and stand right in front? And we're going to pray for you. Amen. Lord, we just thank You today. Thank You, God, that we don't need to try anything. We can just surrender. So won't everybody just pray with me, and we're going to end with this prayer. Lord, I stand before You. Bring back Your fear in my life, that I would understand You and walk in Your ways. Lord, I am imperfect, and I realize that I'm a work in progress, and there's nothing I can give to You today that can satisfy You or can change something about You. But Lord, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I submit to Your perfection. I receive Your healing today in my heart. I receive Your healing in my body. And I say, Lord, here I am. I am here to serve You. I surrender all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to just minister to people. And if you need prayer, why don't you just come to the front? The Lord bless you. No, it's a bit of a tough one, but you just go and work it through with God. Amen. And let's submit to His perfection in this week, and God is going to start to use you, because He cannot be somebody else than what He says He is.